Today is the 9th day of January. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. I am Brian. It is a joy to be here with you today as we navigate through this first full week of this brand new, sparkly, shiny year. And we've almost made it. We've almost successfully made it. We're not there, but we're well on our way. And we are well underway on this grand adventure through the Bible this year. So grateful to be here with you today for the next step forward. We have moved quite a ways through the book of Genesis now, but things have slowed down and we are focused on Abraham. And it is Abraham and his progeny, his family, that shape the rest of the Bible. So as we pay attention to what's going on here, we're really paying attention to the origin and the foundation of the people that shape and influence and are the stories in the Bible. Today, Genesis chapter 20, 21, and 22. From there, Abraham traveled to the region of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. While he was staying in Harar, Abraham said about his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." So King Abimelech of Harar had Sarah brought to him. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "You are about to die because of the woman you have taken, for she is a married woman." Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, "Lord, would you destroy a nation even though it is innocent? Didn't he himself say to me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.' I did this with a clear conscience and clean hands." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know that you did this with a clear conscience. I have also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I have not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not return her, know that you will certainly die, you and all who are yours." Early in the morning, Abimelech got up, called all his servants together, and personally told them all these things, and the men were terrified. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said to him, "What have you done to us? How did I sin against you that you have brought such enormous guilt on me and on my kingdom? You have done things to me that should never be done." Abimelech also asked Abraham, "What made you do this?" Abraham replied, "I thought, there is absolutely no fear of God in this place. They will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. So when God had me wander from my father's house, I said to her, 'Show your loyalty to me wherever we go and say about me, he's my brother.'" Then Abimelech took flocks and herds and male and female slaves, gave them to Abraham, and returned his wife Sarah to him. Abimelech said, "Look, my land is before you. Settle wherever you want." And he said to Sarah, "Look, I am giving your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a verification of your honor to all who are with you. You are fully vindicated." Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves so that they could bear children. For the Lord had completely closed all the wombs in Abimelech's household on account of Sarah, Abraham's wife. The Lord came to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time God had told him. Abraham named his son, who was born to him, the one Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me." She also said, "Who would have told Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne a son for him in his old age." The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham held a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son mocking, the one Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham. So she said to Abraham, "Drive out this slave with her son, for the son of this slave will not be a co-heir with my son Isaac." This was very distressing to Abraham because of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed about the boy and about your slave. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her, because your offspring will be traced through Isaac, and I will also make a nation of the slave's son because he is your offspring." Early in the morning, Abraham got up, took bread and a water skin, put them on Hagar's shoulders, and sent her and the boy away. She left and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she left the boy under one of the bushes and went and sat at a distance, about a bow shot away, for she said, "I can't bear to watch the boy die." While she sat at a distance, she wept loudly. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the boy crying from the place where he is. Get up, help the boy up, and grasp his hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well. So she went and filled the water skin and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew. He settled in the wilderness and became an archer. He settled in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. At that time, Abimelech, accompanied by Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, "God is with you in everything you do. Swear to me, by God, here and now, that you will not break an agreement with me or with my children and descendants. As I have been loyal to you, so you will be loyal to me and to the country where you are a resident alien." And Abraham said, "I swear it." But Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the well that Abimelech's servants had seized. Abimelech replied, "I don't know who did this thing. You didn't report anything to me, so I hadn't heard about it until today." Abraham took flocks and herds and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Abraham separated 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech said to Abraham, "Why have you separated these 7 ewe lambs?" He replied, "You are to accept the 7 ewe lambs from me, so that this act will serve as my witness that I dug this well." Therefore that place was called Beersheba, because it was there that the two of them swore an oath. After they had made a covenant at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, left and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham lived as an alien in the land of the Philistines for many days. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Take your son," he said, "your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship, then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand, he took the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father?" And he replied, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he replied, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." So today it is said, "It will be provided on the Lord's mountain." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn. This is the Lord's declaration. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the city gates of their enemies, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring, because you have obeyed my command." Abraham went back to his young men, and they got up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham settled in Beersheba. Now after these things, Abraham was told, "Milcah also has borne sons to your brother Nahor: Uz, his firstborn, his brother Buz, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Kised, Hatzo, Pildash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel fathered Rebekah. Milcah bore these eight to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Rumah, also bore Teba, Gaham, Tayash, and Maacah." Matthew 7, 15 through 29. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruits, but a bad tree produces bad fruits. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruits. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. Psalm 9, 1 through 12. Celebration of God's justice. For the choir director, according to Mut Laben, a psalm of David. I will thank the Lord with all my heart. I will declare all your wondrous works. I will rejoice and boast about you. I will sing about your name, Most High. When my enemies retreat, they stumble and perish before you, for you have upheld my just cause. You are seated on your throne as a righteous judge. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have erased their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to eternal ruin. You have uprooted the cities, and the very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for judgment, and he judges the world with righteousness. He executes judgment on the nations with fairness. The Lord is a refuge for the persecuted, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, because you have not abandoned those who seek you, Lord. Sing to the Lord, who dwells in Zion. Proclaim his deeds among the nations. For the one who seeks an accounting for bloodshed remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the oppressed. Proverbs 2, 16 through 22. It will rescue you from a forbidden woman, from a wayward woman with her flattering talk, who abandons the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her ways to the land of the departed spirits. None return who go to her. None reach the paths of life. So follow the way of the good, and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those of integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous ripped out of it. So today, we read of the fulfillment of an impossible promise, a son. named Isaac, born to Abraham and Sarah. So now Abraham has two sons, Ishmael, which was born by Hagar the Egyptian, and Isaac, born by Sarah, his wife. So Sarah had given her servant Hagar to Abraham as a wife, as a surrogate. And as disturbing as this arrangement might seem to us now, it was a common practice of this day. But Sarah's choice also displayed a lack of trust in this promise that God had made. And so the decision to take matters into her own hands, into their own hands, complicated the situation considerably, resulting in humongous relational problems. So Sarah demands that Hagar and her son be sent away after the birth of Isaac. But God rescued and provided for them. And then pretty quickly it appears as if Abraham's also going to lose Isaac. And so back to no sons. Because God asked Abraham to travel to Moriah and sacrifice Isaac to him. Again, this is an unsettling story that we are allowed to and supposed to wrestle with. But it begins to reveal not only this covenant and covenantal language and covenantal requirements that Abraham and God shared, but also like the deep, abiding, unflinching trust that Abraham has in his devotion to God. And he becomes a patriarch of the faith up until now because of this. So in a covenant, nothing can be withheld. Right? Many of us are in covenants, like we have contracts, and we're in covenants, and they are stipulating the terms. Many of us are in the covenant of marriage. Nothing can be withheld. And so because Abraham is in covenant with God, he would not withhold the gift of Isaac, even though he was a promised child from God. So in the end, this is a test, and God provides the offering. He never intended to have Isaac sacrificed. And he tells him, because you have obeyed me, because you did not withhold even your son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. It's through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. So we can feel the tension in the story, trying to put ourselves in that position. We can see the tension in the story, because it's an impossible position. And yet, as we look at the thread of the redemptive story in the Bible, God put himself in this same impossible position to fulfill a covenant, and stepped into the place of the Father, sacrificing his Son. He loved us so much that he would not withhold his only Son to save his people. That is how much we are loved. And so, Father, I mean, this story puts us in an impossible situation that we cannot imagine, to reveal to us the depths of your love for us. And how can we respond but with gratitude and worship, and with a heart for honoring this and not being entitled and taking from it, but honoring it with our lives? Show us today what that looks like. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. This is where to get connected and to be connected to what is going on around here. And so be sure, if you haven't gotten the chance to do that yet, that you do. Won't be too long now before we'll all be moving forward into a brand new app, brand new everything. So be on the lookout for that, but make sure that you have the current app so that when that time comes, it'll be a much more seamless process. So be sure to check those things out and get involved in those ways. Check out the community section. This is where to get connected in places like the social media spaces that we are in. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop and peruse the resources that are available for the journey that we are on. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, this is how we are here every day. This is how the spoken word of God is read fresh every day, because we are in this together. Thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And, of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, we're in community now. We're here for each other. You can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. Other than to tell you I'm Brian. And I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family, it's God's Little Bird. And I just wanted to thank you guys for contributing to the Christmas community call-in, because it was just wonderful. I don't have a ton of Christmas spirit, but you guys sure gave me some joy, absolute joy. So I just want to give a couple shout-outs here. Slave of Jesus Dayenu prayer was just like beautiful. And Rebecca from Michigan and Blind Tony shared their flute music, and Jin and Min and David with their original song, beautiful. And KSD's adaptation of Emmanuel was so much fun. I gotta say my favorite part though was the Providence Classical School Kindergarten from Williamsville, Virginia. Just, you know, like I said at the beginning, I don't have a ton of Christmas spirit, but like I really felt it with those children. So, you know, I know it's a year from now, but everybody please call in and just, you know, bring your joy. But speaking of, I just want to say how much I appreciated the Blue Christmas. And I didn't get to listen to it until after, but next year I'll listen to it right on time, because it just really... it felt so good, and it fed my soul, and it felt like, you know, someone understands. So, thank you so much, Daily Audio Bible family, for being there in my life. Happy 2026. Love you all. Bye.
Sherry in Florida, this is God's Life Speaker. I heard you on January 3rd at the end of the podcast asking for prayers for your son and how he left. You didn't know where he was. He came back, and it turned into a really ugly situation, and your two older kids stepped in and asked him to leave, and now you don't know where he is. He's turned off location. And you said something that struck me to the bone, that you want him back. You want the him back that you knew before he was angry and before this person he's become. And I could relate so well to that. I don't know what happened to our son. I don't even know who he is, why he's so angry, why he's so distant. And so I'm going to lift you up in prayer. Lord Jesus, you know the heart of this mama. You know the pain of just seeing her family shattered and torn apart, and even siblings being torn apart. Lord, we ask for restoration. We ask for salvation. that everyone in her family would know who you are, that her son would come back to you first, Lord, that he would be on his knees before you, asking and repenting, and that he would come back to his mom and dad, that there would be total restoration and healing in this family, but also communication, the ability to talk about where the breakdowns were, what happened, and just a total spiritual, mental, emotional healing. Would you hold her up as she waits to see how you will answer this prayer, Lord? Whatever your will, may we just always call you our Father. God bless you.
This is Marco from Epi, North Dakota. Today is January 2nd. January 12th, I am going to have surgery for a hiatal hernia, which means almost all of my stomach is up in my chest, causing chest pains. And I just want prayer for the surgeon and for a speedy recovery. And then thank you all for whoever prayed for me. I appreciate it. In Jesus' name.
Greetings to you, Deb family. This is Walking in the Light in Tennessee. Just wanting to check in. It's been a while again. Life's really busy right now. But I heard Rebecca call in. And Rebecca, believe it or not, I follow your story. I know about your drive to work. I know about the issues that, you know, are concerning you with your family and your father's stroke and everything that you're dealing with. But I want you to know that I wanted to call in tonight to encourage you. I wanted to let you know that God sees you. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I want you to know that your breakthrough is coming. I don't know what it will be or how it will happen, but I feel it so strongly in my spirit that you just have to hold on. So let me pray for you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want to lift up my sister Rebecca. I've never met her, don't know her face, don't know anything about her, but I know her story and I feel her pain, because I can hear it in her voice. And so, Father, I'm asking you to give her that friend that she desires, the breakthrough that she needs, a little bit of a sliver of light, Father God, to encourage her along the way, something to just lift her spirits and help her to know that she's in your hands. She's very, very strong. She's very focused. She's come a long way. So, Father, I know that you have the remedy, whatever it is. I know that you have it. And I don't have it, but I want her to know that I'm praying for her just to encourage her. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Rebecca, hang in there, darling. You will see this is your season to be blessed. And so I'm praying for a blessing for you. In Jesus' name, walking in the light in Tennessee. Still walking in the light in Tennessee. Be blessed, Dab family.